Check out our local pods on the Ringer Podcast Network. We got Boston off the pike. Pat's coming off a big win. The Ringer's Philly special. Same thing. The Eagles are 5-0. The full go with Jason Goff. The Bears are not hot right now. Maybe they don't belong in this conversation, but it's still a great podcast. Then New York with John Jastrzemski. Giants and Jets are red hot. The Ringer's local sports podcast. Check it out on the Ringer Podcast Network. It's the Bill Simmons podcast presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer partner of the NBA. It's just what you need to sit back and enjoy the game. And they're also getting fans closer to the game than ever. You can win exclusive NBA prizes like courtside seats, signed memorabilia, and more. I love Michelob because of how light it is. It's only 95 calories with 2.6 carbs. You know what the perfect time for Michelob Ultra is? A little doubleheader, a little NBA doubleheader. Right at first half of the first game. I don't know, West Coast time, that's usually about 5 o'clock, 5:30. Perfect time for a beer. You can do it. Grab a pack to enjoy today. Learn more and enter for your chance to win at MichelobUltra.com/courtside, LDA 21 and up. We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network. Hope you checked out me on Plain English and on Slow News Day and on the Prestige TV podcast the last few days, not to mention this podcast. And this one we have coming up, it's a very special time. Joe House is here because me and him and Rosillo are going to tape our big over-unders pod on Tuesday. So House comes, we watch football. My mom cooks for us. House gets groggy, and then we decide to do the pod with Sal. And guess what? As always, I lost some bets. So it's just like, it's like a holiday. Every October, you know it's coming. NBA, groggy House, me complaining about bets that I should have won. Sal coming up, the little bonus that the Mets lost, and he's going to be even pissier than usual. Although the Cowboys did win. Although the Patriots did win. Maybe we'll be in a good mood. We'll see. It's all coming up next. First, our friends from Pearl Jam. All right, Cousin Sal is here. Special guest Joe House is here. We do this once a year. There's always some chicanery with the NFL, but this time around, a little different because the Cuz had a make or break Mets game on top of a Cowboys game that went great. And it seemed like it was going to be the day of Sal and just you celebrating.
No.
And happy Sal. No, we can't have happy Sal ever. We can't have nice things.
I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad House is here. He's going to have to pick up the slack for me. You know, once the Cowboys won, I knew I was going to be happy, happy Sal, right? It was just going to be one, right? And if, you know how it is with the baseball teams, right? It's so mixed, right? Because I want them to continue, right, House? But I don't want to devote 4 hours of misery a night for the next 2 weeks. So, House, weigh in here.
It's too much anguish, the baseball playoffs. Just get it out of the way now. You're rolling with the Cowboys. It's better that way. And everybody in your life will appreciate you that much more, not, you know, sacrificing every evening. You know, the last time I came out for this occasion, it was a year ago. The Red Sox were in the playoffs. I had to go meet Bill Simmons somewhere. You know, we weren't near home base. We had to go abroad. He couldn't order me food. We had to have salads because he was tracking the Red Sox the whole time. We barely got any basketball or football podcasting in.
I had no idea he was still bitter about this. Nobody has ever been bitter about being fed for 3 straight days until Joe House just now.
It was salad. And well, Sal, we didn't leave anything to chance this year.
Well, here's the thing, Sal, because I was on a Red Sox thread and my Red Sox season ended the first week of August. And then none of us really watched the Red Sox after that. And you had to live and die for another 2 months and have this tumultuous weekend. And then then it's over abruptly and you're just bummed out. And we were like, we might have gotten off better than the Mets fans did. We were done seven weeks ago. We were moving on to losing football bets.
Oh, listen, believe me, there's part of me that's delighted that I don't have to pay, you know, $2,500 for Dodger Stadium tickets for the family Wednesday, which I can now blow on the Thursday night game. But, you know, but you saw how it is. Like, it was you and me. We texted with Fantasy and our buddy Gus, and it just did feel different for the Mets. Like, this was our year. This team felt there. I know everyone says it, but, you know, they were fun. They had a crazy pitcher with different colored eyes. We had a grumpy manager who actually had his shit together. We had a super intimidating closer who had a song. We had a song that everyone stole. We had a fat guy. And we had, best of all, we had an excuse. When DeGrom comes back, we're going to go all Amazon on everyone and take over the world. And we had it all. And now it's like, you know, I can't even name the seven free agents. I know our owner likes to sign. He's you know, he's not cheap, but you know, DeGrom's going to be 35 next year. Scherzer 38. You know, when you feel like this was the year, like this was the year.
It's funny that when the Mets had the bullpen song, when that became a thing with Diaz,
yeah,
you start to think like, oh, this might be their year. Just from dumb stuff like the butt, like those little things always add up to like something. I remember that one year with the Red Sox in 2013 when they had the beards and all of a sudden there were beards t-shirts. And it's like, oh, this is something. Something's happening. But it ended abruptly. Sal, the good news.
Mm.
I remember that guy, Dak Prescott, who used to play quarterback for you before the unstoppable, undefeated Cooper Rush and the Ewing Theory Committee came in and turned your season around. Now the Cowboys, I made a list. I tried to figure out who the best 32 teams were. 1 through 32, and I have you guys sixth, and you lost Dak Prescott 4 weeks ago, and everybody wrote them off, and the Eagles were in, and I think you have one of the six best teams in the league, and you didn't even have your quarterback.
Yeah, no kid, it was almost even better, right? If Kyler Murray didn't, first of all, he comes to the game dressed like Margaret Thatcher, and then they like spikes the ball on third and one, and then they have to kick the field goal, and they show a whole... Has that ever happened where they show a whole montage of missed field goals with the guy in practice and then it actually happens like this? So anyway, we could have been tied with the Eagles, but I'm happy. But is it really Cooper Rush? He had 102 yards passing. Like, this defense is everything. It's everything. A great defense. It's the best I've seen in forever. Really,
it's a little 2001 Pats-ish. Game manager Cooper Rush, good defense. And one of the greatest coaches of all time in Mike McCarthy. House is all fired up about the NFC East. He thinks the NFC East is back. Even the C words, he's kind of excited about.
Well, it's just the old NFC East that we grew up with, cuz. It's like the smash mouth football. It's defensive football. It's rushing, grounding out, pounding out yards on the ground. The Cowboys, you know, consecutive weeks, more yards on the ground than passing. That's the right way to play it. And I give credit to Kellen Moore. He's called three great game plans to manage Cooper Rush and let Cooper Rush just do the little bit that he needs to do to let the team go ahead and win, not snatch defeat from the jaws of victory like a lot of these clowns that we watch since Thursday night.
Hold on, that's the next topic. We're going to do dumbass coaches later. Yeah, the Dallas thing, the recipe is there. And I got to be honest, I feel like my team has a little bit of the same recipe. Starting to get ideas. Like, I made this list and the Pats weren't that far away from the top 10. Same recipe though. Good defense, run the ball, good coaching. Are we willing to say you at least have decent coaching now, cuz?
I think so. In certain spots, it does seem like McCarthy's a better coach when Cooper Rush is the quarterback. It's an odd thing to say, but we really can't neglect this defense. Like, they could quadruple team, you know, Micah Parsons, and it doesn't seem to matter. Like that Rams, I know the Rams have trouble moving the ball anyway, but we suffocated them. They really didn't have a shot. I know they missed a field goal. They could have been in it, but House, you want to play quarterback next week? I mean, he had 102 yards. We had 264 total yards of offense. You want to play wide receiver, House? Whatever you want to do.
Well, the fans here in LA chant MVP for me the way they chant an MVP for Micah. Did you hear that?
I mean, that was sick.
Amazing.
Right?
Imagine LA being a Rams sucks. Fan.
Yeah.
Cuz, did you go?
No, I didn't, because I'm an idiot. And I my big thing was I didn't want to watch the Mets in the car or listen to the car and get mad.
That's defensible.
I know I have road rage and that'll be the end of me because, you know, Musgrove is striking out the side, you know, for, you know, 3 out of 4 innings or whatever. So, yeah,
well,
I stayed away from the good game.
Those Dallas Philly games, a couple of interesting things there. One, it really seems like the Rams are done as a possible contender. They've gotten their ass kicked now in 3 games. I thought that was the weirdest line of the day. I thought we were talking about it all day. Mm-hmm. I love the Cowboys money line. I like the Cowboys straight up. In general, I thought the line should have been Rams by 3 when you factor in all the Dallas fans that we knew were going to be there. But the Rams just don't have it. So you have that. Then you have Arizona, who once again did the thing where they suck for a quarter. They kind of rally back near the end. And then it gets super wonky with like 5 minutes left. Kyler does the slide, what, 6 feet? 6 feet short of the third down thing, and then spikes it on third down.
Now somebody
definitely thought he made it, right?
Yeah, like somebody tweeted that the in-stadium board flashed up first and 10. And the theory is that Kyler saw that, popped up, saw that the board showed first down, and went and spiked it. So then producing a fourth down opportunity. So the in-house Cardinal production effed the Cardinals, which goes along with everything else.
I would say watching their game management over the last couple years, I'm gonna gravitate toward slide spike combo, maybe being part of the DNA.
There's no benefit of any doubt anymore with Coach Kingsbury and his.
Both teams were who we thought they were in that game though, because the Eagles looked great early, had trouble protecting the lead like they always do, and I felt like that game was sitting there to be stolen. The reason we bring this up is, next week, we have 2 awesome games.
Yeah.
We have your teams playing Philly, and we have KC Buffalo, and those are 4 of the 6 best teams in the league right now. We just saw Baltimore Cincy on a Sunday night, which we'll talk about in a second, but that was another good game. But this next week really feels like the official start of the season, right? Like these could be the AFC title, NFC title games, potentially.
I just want to very quickly, I'm not ready to completely eliminate the Rams. I mean, the 3 losses that they have are to credible teams. This is, they're playing the schedule of the team that won the Super Bowl, and they still have games against Arizona and Seattle in conference that, you know, there's still an opportunity to right the ship. The thing that's stark right now with them, it seems like they don't have enough talent offensively. There is something going on in terms of you know, guys that can get open and catch the ball, and we're all praying for Cooper Kupp's health every week.
What do you mean there's something going on? They were a top-heavy team, and then they lost 2 guys.
Yeah.
It's like that Tutu Atwell, I didn't even know was still on their team.
Made a good nice catch.
Yeah, they threw to him deep twice in that game, and it was like, Tutu Atwell's on the roster? I thought he was, you know, on the practice squad or whatever, but it just doesn't seem like they have enough talent. The stats with them are really discouraging. I think they're third from the bottom in point differential right now. And all the advanced stats say they're one of the 5 worst teams in the league. So it happens. They mortgaged their future to win last year.
They played the Bills defense, the 49ers defense, and the Dallas defense. 3 of the top 5 defenses in the league.
Fair.
That is a tough early first place schedule for sure. Well, the one thing they have going for them is everybody is 2-3. All 32 teams are 2-3. It hasn't happened since 1916. So,
not the C words.
Oh yeah, not the C words. They just should be 2-3. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. The we have the 5-0 Eagles. We have 2 4-1 teams, Minnesota, Dallas, and the Giants. And then we have the Bucks, Niners, Packers at 3-2. The Packers were one of the big losers today. Cause they lost to a Giants team that had no receivers. They had the lead. They're up 10-0. It was a lot of Saquon Barkley, but then he missed a quarter. I was so relieved I couldn't believe I didn't have the Packers in a tease. I kept looking. I was like, how am I not losing money on this game? What happened?
I did it. Guilty.
How do you like losing 4 figures before 10 a.m.? It was fun, right? This morning? You know, it was good?
It's like before your normal first meal.
Yeah, the London game is a do not bet for me. But the Giants somehow sneak it out. Daboll, who all these new coaches we've had over the last couple of years, and we'll get to, I have a whole thing I want to do about dumbass coaches, but Daboll's the opposite. That team, the game management's great. They're really smart. He puts his players in a position to succeed. He takes somebody like Daniel Jones, who, you know, is pretty athletic, who can move the ball. He can run. He looks okay from time to time, and he just, all he does is maximize like the very small things Daniel Jones is good at. I've been really impressed by them. The Giants are 4-1. It actually feels like right around the right record. I feel like they should be 3-2, 4-1, right?
I agree. Yeah, from what we've seen, the thing to me today that was so impressive was it was the most confident I've ever seen Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
That like confident, like the confident thing that goes hand in hand. And it's because of Daboll. It's got to be.
And it coincided with the Packers just losing control of their offense, right? Because they were, you know, Rodgers seemed dialed in, right? Nickel and diming, 4-yard pass to Lazard, 7 to Tanya, and all that thing where he just doesn't even take a step away from the center, and he's already got a completion for 9 yards. And then he got sacked on 3rd and long, got him out of field goal range, and they never, ever made it back. But yeah, to your point, this Giants team would have given up on this game every year for the last 6 years, but not under Brian Daboll. He's got him going.
And then we had the Jets beat Miami. That was a weirder game because Bridgewater got hurt early. The spotter came in because the NFL, just during the season, had to change their concussion protocol rules. I can't remember another. Imagine having the NFL as the commissioner of your fantasy league where they would just be like, hey, I know, guys, I know it's week 5, but I've now decided that 250-yard plus for passing is now going to be worth 8 points. I'm like, what? Wait, why didn't we say this before the season? The NFL just is changing things on the fly. Now they have spotters where, and by the way, this is all stuff they should have 10 years ago, so I'm not complaining. But now it's like, hey, if somebody's wobbling like they're a drunk coming out of the bar, we're going to put them in concussion protocol. That's one of our new rules. It's like, oh, thank you. Thanks, NFL. This sounds great.
Well, but especially the Dolphins, right? They're not going to let them slide. Like Skylar Thompson should have taken 50-50 snaps this week, knowing that they're going to, if anybody comes away with a stubbed toe, that they're going to be like, all right, Bridgewater, you're sitting or whatever. Maybe Bridgewater is messed up a little bit. But yeah, as soon as they brought that guy in, I was like, wow, the Jets are going to have their third win.
Well, the Jets are in they're basically in a multi-team tie for the 3 seed.
Yeah,
the 3-2 teams right now are Tennessee, Baltimore, the Jets, the Dolphins, and that goofy Chargers team that is minus 14 for the season that pulled another one out. Jacoby Brissett, did you see the stat? The Chargers beat the Browns. Brissett's thrown 3 interceptions. All of them have come in the last 3 minutes of the game.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and two of them back-to-back weeks where he's cost his team wins.
We normally would call that a Wentz, but I guess we just call that a Jacoby.
Nah, we can still call it a Wentz.
It's a Wentz. Okay.
But I mean, that team could have been, 4-1 with Watson coming back in week 13. All Brissett's job was just to try to keep them somewhere around 7-6, 6-7 range, which they still might be able to do. But this is 2 weeks in a row where the Browns have kicked the shit out of somebody and somehow lost the game. They're up 14-0.
And they had it given to him when the coach is, that Staley is like, it just drives me crazy that he gets the benefit from going up for it on 4th-and-2 in his own side of the field when they could just punt it away. You know, it's like, this taking chances thing, it's fun for the aggressive thing, but it's still got to be right, right? It's like, your drunk friend playing blackjack with you, right? And you're like, all right, dealer's showing 6. We're all staying, right, guys, right? And then this drunk idiot friend hits and gets a 3, and then the dealer busts, and your idiot friend's like, I told you, bitch, don't you ever deny me, don't you ever, like, no, you were wrong. You were wrong to go for it there. What's going on?
I want to talk about this. Let's take a break, and let's talk about dumbass coaches. This episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. Closing the deal can be a real challenge sometimes. Like, remember when the Celtics, once upon a time, could have traded Kevin McHale for Sam Perkins and Detlef Schrempf to Dallas? It became a big what if because it would have made the Celtics younger, it would have made them better, but they also would have broken up the big three. They would have broken up Bird and Parrish and McHale. So would we have won the title if we did that trade? Probably not. I'm kind of glad they kept Kevin McHale, but, you know, we lost out on a chance to really get younger. You know, another place where it could be a struggle to get a win, not just with trades, B2B selling. But luckily, you can use LinkedIn Sales Navigator. It's a sales intelligence platform that helps you target the right customers to drive revenue and grow your business so you can start selling like a superstar. Maybe Detlef Schrempf would have become a superstar in the Celtics. We'll never know. Try LinkedIn Sales Navigator now with a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/Bill Simmons. This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. 7-time world champion, modern-day legend, my favorite quarterback ever, Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. It's going to be hosted by Kevin Hart, and Tom Brady will get his cleats held to the fire by famous friends, frenemies, the Roastmaster himself, Jeff Ross. It's going to be an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix. All right, so this starts on Thursday night with Nat Hackett, who's up three. Listen, people have talked about it, but we're just going to rehash it quick. They're up three. It's 4th and 1. Matt Ryan has been sacked or hit 230 times in a 4-quarter game. The Colts have 6 points. They have no receivers. They have no chance, zero, none of going 80 yards. And Nat Hackett sees all of this and he says, you know what? We're going to go for it on 4th and 1. Not only are we going to go for it, we're going to throw it with my quarterback who's been completely erratic and had terrible judgment and looks washed up this whole game. That's what we're going to do. They do it. Mm-hmm. They don't get it. Colts come back down. We end up in overtime. I had the Broncos. I mean, this whole analytics thing, it's been beaten to death ad nauseum, and it's turned into a you have to be on one side or the other. I like analytics. I also like the concept of just watching a football game and feeling the rhythms of it and sometimes maybe throwing out the next gen stats and just looking at stuff like, all right, I've stood on the sideline here for 3 hours. Do I think mm-hmm. the Colts can go 80 yards? I do not. I'm going to take the 3 points and go up 6 because I don't think they can score. We were talking tonight, Bengals Ravens, where the Bengals, I mean, talk about year of the dumbass. Zach Taylor, first down and goal from the 2. They do a reverse. Somehow they do a reverse ends up third down for the 15.
They tried a Philly special, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a version of the Philly special and then the shovel pass. But no, I know what you're saying. I didn't want to jump games either. But yeah, Joe Mixon has 13 touchdowns. Analytics dictates that guy can't get the ball now.
Just run the ball.
The 4 plays.
How about your 6'5" quarterback who could do a QB sneak, which by the way, they did the next time around. They get the 4th and 2. And I would have taken the field goal. I would have taken the points. It was a field goal game. No, nope, we got to go for it. Next gen stats say that we have a 2% chance more to get it. Ends up with a shovel pass in the 17 guys. Then the Ravens come back down and it's 4th and short. And Harbaugh takes the points. And everyone goes, I went on Twitter. Everyone went nuts. Oh my God, Baltimore's betrayed who they are. It's like, I don't know. Did they? They're up 6.
I thought that was smart.
Yeah. Even if the Bengals go down and score a touchdown.
Yeah.
You still get the ball back with a chance to kick a field goal to go up 2. Nobody factors in that part. If you don't get that 4th and 1, now the Bengals can get a touchdown and go up 4. It's just
Right. Nobody
talks about the football situations or the fact that you have Justin Tucker. House and I are talking about it. You have Justin Tucker. Even if I'm down 2, I just have to get to the 50-yard line. I win the game.
Worst case scenario, you have 3 timeouts, 2 minutes left, and the best kicker who's ever done it, right? That was it. And so, yeah, you go up 6. And plus, you've been stifled on 4th and 1 before. I'm with you. Nate Hackett is a breed of his own, though, I think. You're saying there's no way the Colts would come down. Nobody scored that game. Analytics, you're right, doesn't see that there were no touchdowns in that game, and there weren't going to be, you know? So,
right. My issue with the analytics is that the situation, you and I were talking about this. It doesn't seem to factor in stuff like, well, this team has Justin Tucker. So if they go up 6, even if the Bengals come down and score a touchdown, they're still going to win by 2. We knew it was going to happen when the Bengals scored. It was 17-16. It's like, guess what?
Right.
The Ravens are going to get to the 40 and Justin Tucker's going to kick a field goal. It's just these analytics that happen in a vacuum without...
That's the point is, you know, we all have observed analytics at work in a lot of different situations in sports over like the last 15 years or so. In many ways that I think it's pretty enjoyable. It's added to my enjoyment of the NBA, the revolution with the 3 points and so forth. And in football, there is this weird binary. Either the analytics, you know, sort of dictate the direction you're going to go in, or you're going against the analytics. And I think that's the wrong framework. I think it needs to be, it, the analytics provide information. It's a data point. It's some information about, you know, you're, you want to mitigate kind of the risk position that you're in. You want to slightly increase the likelihood that you can win. Okay, the math is kind of supportive of it. And also, I'm coaching this fucking football game, and I know how the game's been going, and I know who my kicker is, and I know how my defense is playing, and I know who's gassed. I know who in the secondary I need to sub out. Like, all of those things are data points that are important elements of making a complete, comprehensive decision. And it's why the guys up in the booth, you know, they have analytics guys, but those guys are also football coaches, I believe, right? They're not just mathematicians.
Yeah.
So that's the point,
if
right?
If there's a hint of the idea that your quarterback has a torn labrum, I think at that point you could stiff arm the 26-year-old computer nerd and say, hey, step back here. We're going to kick it. You know, like this is, I hate to bring blackjack back into it, but I was thinking like, okay, I think analytics nerds treat it like we do. Like when you have a two, when you have a 12 against a two, you're like, I always hit or I always stay. I'm not going to change. But there are other factors, right? If the last 10 cards were picture cards, you're going to do something different than you might if there were threes and fours coming out, right?
Yeah, well, so Harbaugh, who people were saying or people thought maybe because of what happened to them last week, they have now betrayed their identity by not going in on fourth down. Mm-hmm. I look at it the other way. I didn't think, you know, the running, I know they're running for like 4.5 yards, but they don't have like that big physical runner for the fourth and short. I thought Lamar was really sloppy in the game today, right? Like he missed throws left and right. And I don't want to give the Bengals life. I just want to go up six. The Bengals had scored 10 points to that point. They had a bunch of three and outs. I was getting pressure on Burrow. And I'm going to make the bet that they can't go 80 yards and get seven. And even if they get the seven, I'm going to bet on my guy to come back down and the best field goal kicker of all time. Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like this isn't like cut and dry. It's not like it says 82% they should have gone versus 75% that they shouldn't. So they should have gone. Like you have to weigh the situation. I thought it was debatable at least.
Yeah. I want to play devil's advocate with you, even though I 100% agree with you. I didn't know if you have fourth and one, I didn't know you could have players push you now legally. So you really at this point, we should have a center and a quarterback and nine guys pushing from behind. That's what I want to see. That's how you got to get the yard.
Yeah, they should have like the Undertaker behind Joe Burrow.
Yeah, exactly. The pusher should be a position. Like who would be the best pusher? When Michael Parsons, bring Parsons in and let him be a pusher.
Well, what did Staley do today? Bravo. What was it? It was fourth and one on his own 46.
Yes.
Up to.
He went for it.
Mm-hmm. And he just should have punted, right?
Yeah.
Like pretty much like make Jacoby Brissett go 60 yards to beat me.
And the play call sucked too, but that's just a whole other part of it. But yeah, these guys are getting a little too crazy. I don't know. And that's why everyone's 2-3.
Well, the thing is, this is when it started with the Pats-Colts game where Belichick went for it in his own 28. And I remember writing like a 10,000-word column about this when it happened. Going for it was defensible. The play was bad. And that, like, those things have to go hand in hand. Like, if I'm going for it on fourth and two for my own 28, I better have an awesome play or I have that one guy I know can get open. Like, the Ravens have Mark Andrews, right? If you're going to tell me Harbaugh's looking at it and going, you know what? Mark Andrews has gotten open this whole game. It's fourth and one. He's going to get open. I'm going for it. I'd be like, you know what? That sounds great. I thought that was a 50-50 call. The stuff the Bengals did, the Bengals going for it on fourth and two, we did not agree with. Just take the points, tie game, got a quarter left. Like, you know, we see this over and over again, but it does feel like this new wave of people coming in that are trying to make their mark by being aggressive. And it's like, is it aggressive or stupid?
Well, the other thing is, why don't these coaches just in the press conference say, hey, get off my back. Sometimes it's going to work and sometimes it isn't, right? Like my job is at stake here, you know, for the ones who aren't aggressive, that's what they should say. Like, hey, this is what, I don't even care about analytics or I care about analytics and this is what we're going to do. And don't worry about it. It's going to work out sometimes and sometimes it is.
It's turning into backgammon where if you play somebody, I've played a lot of backgammon in my day. Prone to play for money from time to time. Here we go.
Backgammon in the NBA. This is all we talk about.
Yeah, I know. You knew it would cut to backgammon.
Very weird. Yeah.
But you play somebody in backgammon who's super aggressive, right? And they just start hitting you and they'll hit you when they're in their corner, when you can bring the guys in at the end, whatever that corner's called. And it's so frustrating. You're like, oh, that's so stupid that he did that. And then you roll and you can't get in. And it worked. And you're like, so is that a good idea or is that insane? But
we don't know what the hell you're saying.
So yeah, I know. Well, people playing back in the know. Can I give you some biggest surprises?
Yeah.
New York football being 7-1.
Wow.
Wait.
No, 7-2.
Giants are
7-3. See, it would have been a surprise if they're 7-1.
Wow, you keep surprising us.
New York football being 7-3.
And then, yeah. Well, if you had Buffalo, it's what? 11-4?
11-4.
NFC East, 14-6.
Best division.
With three of those, like, cannibal losses, right? Because Washington's lost to Dallas and Philly.
Yeah.
And the Giants lost to Dallas.
Is that what we call them now? Cannibal losses? Like, well, Jeffrey Dahmer losses?
We're going to do, like, you know, the inside the conference. Right.
Take out the head-to-heads. Yeah.
Another surprise. I think Pittsburgh is unquestionably the worst team in the league. Right? Who's worse than them?
I think the Panthers would like to like a word. I think that, you know, Baker Mayfield would like to have a conversation, maybe make his case. I can't put the C words in the conversation, as frustrated as I am.
You can. Them. You could do that. You can.
You give me permission, cuz?
Sure. Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Well, Detroit's probably lingering in that combo too now. They
when you
so
say the worst team,
the
is it the team that's going to end up with the worst record? Because it might be the Steelers anyway. You might be right.
But I think it's the Steelers. I think they take their time with TJ Watt. They move to the Pickett era.
Well, this is the thing. This upcoming draft has five quarterbacks projected in like the first 15 selections.
Right.
And Stroud is supposed to be the prize catch. So the teams that are right now, the only team that obviously most prominently needs a quarterback is Carolina.
I mean, Carolina's quarterback has single-handedly cost them probably three wins. I think they have a pretty okay team.
The defense is you know, competent.
Yeah.
I'll use that word.
They hung around that Niners game. Baker just wouldn't let them do anything. I was thinking
He's in a walking boot now, though, so I think he's arguably going to be more mobile than we've seen him.
I was thinking about all the teams that could have traded for Garoppolo, which is basically Pittsburgh, Carolina, Indy.
Washington tried to.
Washington and Denver are the five, right? There's this alternate universe for Denver where they just give a second rounder for Jimmy G. They keep all the other stuff, and instead they went down this road with Russ. I was talking to some Seattle fans who were, I won't say who they were, but they were celebrating. All right, fine. It was Danny Kelly and Mina Kimes. Celebrating the Russell Wilson trade. Like, it really looks like they got out unscathed versus my buddy Gus, who's a huge Broncos fan, who was so fired up to have Russell Wilson. And within 4 weeks, you're like, oh my God, not only is this trade not working, this is the next 5 years of my life. And I was thinking that, I don't know what, you tell me what your Washington equivalent of this, but for me as a Celtics fan, we traded for Vin Baker and we took his max contract in like 2003, and I didn't want them to do it. I wrote a whole column like, this is like a car crash. Please don't. I can't believe we did this. And you watch for 2 weeks and you're like, oh my God, we're screwed for the next 4 years. There's no exit from this. This is done. It's a wrap. Nothing good can happen from this. And I wonder, like, do you think the Denver fans got that way with Wilson? I feel like they did.
Yeah, but there's also a big part of this. And like, if you've had him in fantasy before, or if you've watched him, you realize like even the Russ from 2 years ago, like he would carry the ball every day, would design plays for him. He never, ever runs it. But that play where he'd stick the ball in Rashad Penny's stomach and maybe pull it back and end around for 3rd-and-4 and ice the game. That was it. And so before he signed the contract, he's like, oh, by the way, I'm not going to do that anymore. Can I still get the $200 million? They're like, yeah, I mean, we're here. You might as well sign. Like, I feel like they're getting not only damaged goods, but a different player.
I think it's impossible, though, to separate out Russell Wilson from Nathaniel Hackett. I think they go hand in hand. I would really like to see Wilson in a competent offense and a competent organization with proper, you know, game management, and see what that looks like before we pour the dirt over Russ.
Well, I'm going to still pour the dirt on him. But had they hired Daboll instead of Hackett, that is a great what if. Because those are really like the fork in the road coaching hires, right? Daboll has just been magnificent on the Giants. I love every single thing I've seen from them. Even the sideline, it's like very, there's like a confidence to him. And we talked about it, but like the Hackett thing's the complete opposite. And they cut to Hackett and it looks like, he looks like a kid in the third grade who's about to be called on to read his essay and he doesn't want to go up in front of the class. And he's the head coach of the team. How do you feel good if you're on that team and it's like, this is the guy who's in charge? Like, I actually think he can get fired like by week 10.
No.
Like, at some point, you just got to admit that this guy's not a coach.
So Rule's going to go, right? Is that where you were talking about Carolina? But he's the first probably to go, right?
Rule. So we said Rule or Rivera before the season.
Yeah. Yeah, wait till House is waiting for Rivera to come back, much like we're waiting for Dak to come back. What's it going to be when that shows up? Yeah, it's very strange. It's very strange. But let me ask you this about Daboll. You talked about all that draft house and next year. Are they stuck with Danny Dimes now? Did he screw himself a little bit here?
It's too early to say that.
If they go 9-8, what do you do?
It's in play now, isn't it?
Yeah.
He looks confident.
They have easy games. They have easy games on their schedule. They can go 9-8 and still not be great.
You know, I remember when they asked, should we get him as a weekly guest for the New York podcast with John Jastrzemski? And I said, I believe in Dimes. Let's get him. I think this is Dimes' year. No, the only person I knew who thought the Giants had a chance was Raheem Palmer on our gambling show. Remember, he was like adamant that they were the sleeper of the NFC. We all thought he was insane. It was like, they have seven players. What is the roadmap? But this happens. Every year we have the how the fuck did they get in the playoffs team. And I thought it was going to be the Panthers, but I think it's going to be the Giants. Quickly, is it time to worry about ...
Oh.
Trevor Lawrence. Horrible.
Know,
two games in a row. Like, horrible. No,
I have a weird feeling about that division. Did you say you bet? Oh, you did bet the Broncos. Like, I feel like if you bet any game involving the AFC South, you deserve exactly what you get. And when you bet them playing each other, all bets are off the table right there. Like, so if you're, I don't know, I could see, I took Texans in the points and I thought there could be an upset because I think all these teams are junk.
Well, I did the opposite. I had the Texans and the Niners and the T's. I mean, the Jags and the Niners and the T's.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether I need an exorcism. We talked about exorcisms and things I could do, but like over and over again, I have the game where the QB throws the interception when they're on the 1 yard line. And then on the other side, the one time that the team that hasn't scored a touchdown the whole game has the 3rd and 15 and gets stopped. But there's the play after the whistle, the unsportsmanlike contact, the roughing the passer. That's happened to me twice now. Chiefs, Colts, and Jags, Texans. The drive's done. Penalty. Drive is now kept alive. Let's go score a touchdown. I don't know what I have to do, but I think I'm going to go buy chicken blood tomorrow at Erewhon. I think they sell it at Erewhon. And I'm just going to like pour chicken blood on my chest and do a little dance around my pool. Maybe
House, tell him he doesn't have to dance or chicken blood or anything. He could live bet the other side. It's a beautiful world we live in now. Like, I could have live bet the Mariners when they were losing 8-1 to the Blue Jays, but I didn't because I'm an idiot and they came back and won. So we could get out of these miserable bets we set ourselves up with.
All right, so we're not worried about Trevor Lawrence. I have do you have anybody else we should worry about?
Just Jerome Boger.
Jerome.
I mean,
somehow I didn't have money on that one. Jerome Boger keeping the Brady drive alive. That was the worst call of the year.
It was literally the worst call of the year. The game hung in the balance of on that play. Atlanta made the stop. They were at home with the opportunity to really give it to Tampa, and Jerome Boger said, "Nope, not on my watch."
Jerome Boger.
Can I tell you? Yeah. Can I tell you my theory on this?
Let's hear it.
I think they said, you know what? We're going to give the best player who ever lived a break. He's had a tough week. His old lady filed for divorce. His mental patient of a friend is posting children's books suggesting he's going to stay back and have his way with her. All right. We could, you know, it's going to look a little bad, but let's give him a break. They got to get out of this home game with a win.
Tom versus Prison Time, his next Facebook thing.
That was it.
Yeah. I think that might have been what happened, but I do feel like Jerome Bogard, he's like one of those SNL cast members when they it's the first episode of the season and you're like, wait, that person's still on the show? How did they not get rid of that person yet?
I mean,
Jerome Bogard, how is he still on the show?
That's the point. They make a concussion rule on the fly, like week five, new concussion rule, new protocol, and Jerome Bogard's still out there? We can't fix that?
It's like when Ed Hockley was terrible for like three extra years before they're finally like, hey, Ed, we've got a gift basket for you. All right, let's take a break and then we'll do Guess the Lines. All right, Guess the Lines, week six. What is it? It's I'm up. Is it 2-2-1?
2-1-2. It's two. You have two. I have one win and there are two ties.
All right, so when we have House in, it's a three-person thing. If we both lose, it's a loss for us. If we get a win, it's a win. And if House wins, we just kind of roll it over.
I already won because
you did?
I got your mom to make me a giant Italian feast today. The only way to make up for the fact that I had to fly out here. Sal, they fly me out here, right? I had first thing in the morning on a Sunday morning to get out here. My NFL, all my prep. I'm in a middle seat. Middle seat from the east coast to the I'm 6'3. I barely fit.
It's a Swedish company. I don't know what to say.
do they not know?
People are smaller.
My name is literally House.
When we were on our own, House was flying business class. Now he's middle seat. We're really stepping up.
I'm having to sit with my legs out for this podcast tonight because.
Well, House bullies, but my mom loves House.
Yeah.
So House tries to get the momentum going for my mom to cook.
It's just sweet talk. That's all.
Yeah. My mom gets super excited and cooks for 3 days. What does she make us, House?
We had a beautiful array. We always start with a beautiful roasted red pepper with the garlic and the oil, nice olive oil, deviled eggs. Very special recipe of deviled eggs. She likes to ease us into it. She went to the farmer's market and got for us the fresh baguette with the garlic inside. And we have a beautiful Caesar salad, all made by hand. The dressing made by hand. Perfect. And then we get into the main course, the stuffed shells with a nice sauce, the cheese baked on top. And then the heavy hitters, the meatballs and the brajol. So this year's version of the brajol, no raisins. Your mother is she can do whatever she wants in terms of recipe. And there are a million brajol recipes. There's no wrong way of doing it. I just was surprised.
No raisins this year. And I felt like Kyle went above his brajol limit.
Oh, you did try and impose a two.
No. Kyle knows. Kyle, three was probably the limit. Okay. But I feel like he might have snuck in five.
You know, it sounds amazing, and it also sounds like you had enough to invite me, but Simmons stuck me in the middle seat for the whole day, it seems like.
because you had the Mets. We weren't messing with you today. You had the Cowboys-Mets combo.
I haven't eaten since 1:30. That's how bummed out I am about these stupid Mets. I'll make up for it.
Well, week six, speaking of making up for it, speaking of being cheered up, Thursday night, the Bears against the Seawards. We thought we couldn't have a worse Thursday night game, and now we've topped it. Justin Fields against Carson Wentz, Ron Rivera against whoever the hell the Bears coach is, Al Michaels.
Eberflus.
Al Michaels, just what do you think? Should they let him drink during the game, Sal?
Yeah, this one for sure, yeah.
If we're all drinking, why can't he drink? What's the difference?
It's probably going to be cold too, right?
It should be, yeah.
Yeah, let him drink.
The guy I feel terrible for, Herbstreit's never seen an NFL game before 4 weeks ago. So I think he thinks this is what the product is, that he thinks, you know, he's coming in fresh. He's coming in almost like an alien and he's watching this and he's like, I heard Russell Wilson was good. I thought he won a Super Bowl. Like he's confused. He's dumbfounded.
Herbie.
He's great. He's a great guy. He just didn't follow football in the NFL until this year. And it's pretty obvious. But these guys just retired
after they left college. He's like, yeah, they must go out and sell insurance or something, right?
He's like, Justin Fields, I saw him at Ohio State. This is great.
He's going to see him again.
It's at Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to guess Bears by 1.5. What do you have, Sal?
I hit it exactly. So I'll let House guess first.
I think it's going to be Bears by 2.5, the standard home field advantage for the Bears.
All right. The odds makers just said we want nothing to do with this, and they made it a pick. And that's exactly what I said when I looked at it. I'm like, I can't figure this out. This is a pick 'em.
Well, I will say the one thing, and you went against this angle. There is the rookie head coaches on Thursday nights have a horrendous record. They're like 8-20. Yeah, so there's an angle. And you know, it was just borne out in the Thursday night game of last week. Another rookie head coach going up against a veteran head coach. The theory being that the rookie head coach on a short week, you know, has even less time to get his act together. Yeah. So
wait, I'm reading though the it says unless it's against Ron Rivera, in which case they're 11-2. Yeah.
And Carson Wentz is the opposing quarterback.
That's right.
God. I might actually skip this, guys.
What?
No. Yeah. Come on.
Well, there'll be playoff baseball on that night, right?
Oh, right.
At least get on the Twitter. Yep. The Twitter was so fun.
The Twitter was fun. It really was. I mean, Hackett's the best Twitter NFL coach we probably had since Twitter was invented, right?
It's really been terrific.
I've disagreed with 90% of his decisions.
I'll give Spotify a little love here because we did the Spotify live Thursday night. We also did it at 6:20 this morning. I thought this would be, I'm like, hey, we'll do the first quarter of the Giants Packers. I did it with my eyes closed, but Thursday night we do it and it's such a bad game. And we have like, we don't have that many in the room. We have like 75 or 80, which I think is okay. But I'm like, yeah, no one cares about this game. When it got to the fourth quarter in overtime, that number like went 5x. I was like, wow, people really care. It doesn't really matter what the first 75 minutes of this game looked like. They're going to tune in at the end if it's close. So something to say about the NFL and Spotify.
House is going to get a Spotify live show called The Middle Seat. It's just him cramping the close quarters.
I just want to know if does it have an E rating? Does that room have an E for explicit rating?
Mm. Yeah.
And is there video? Players.
Yeah.
Sunday marquee exactly. Game is a beautiful one. It's at Kansas City. It's Chiefs Bills. America gets to remember that the Bills had a chance to go to round three and somehow lost it in 13 seconds. I could not quite get to 3 on this one, Sal. I went Chiefs by 2.5. What do you have, House?
I'm going to say pick 'em because we haven't seen the Chiefs against the Raiders yet.
You mean the Bills?
All right.
And the Bill? No, yeah. No. The Chiefs play the Raiders on Monday night.
Oh, yeah.
So we're still... We know the Bills just kicked the Steelers' ass.
What do you got, Sal?
Right. Well, I'm sorry. You're going to think I'm cheating because this is the second one I got in a row, right? But plus 2. It's Bills minus 2.
Bills
in
minus
Kansas
2.
City.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Holy shit.
Yeah.
So the Chiefs are home dogs.
Mm-hmm.
If they beat the crap out of the Raiders tomorrow night, though, how do you think that moves the line?
It'll tighten up a little bit.
That's what I'm wondering aloud.
So the storyline is payback against a team that's on a short week and they don't care if they go on the road. I mean, they went on the road. Tennessee is not the caliber of KC, but they crushed Tennessee on the road, right? Trying to get their road games. Yes. Rams, they beat up. Yeah. Dolphins.
Sal, can I feel like I've already done this segment with you before the season, but can we run it back?
Yeah.
Are we sure the Bills should be getting this kind of respect?
Yeah. Come on. How many times are you going to be wrong about this?
Well, let's go backwards.
They had one hiccup against the Dolphins and it was stupid.
I hear you. Week one.
I don't think you do. Yeah.
Week one, they kill the Rams. It felt like a substantial thing. Now we've seen the Rams for 5 weeks. Is it as impressive as it seemed in week one? No. No.
They beat the hell out of them, though.
Yeah, but the Rams aren't good.
Yeah, but...
Looking backwards, I'm not as impressed by that win as I was in the moment.
I understand your point.
All right.
Week two, they beat the hell out of Tennessee. Week three, they lose to Miami. Week four, they pull it out at Baltimore. Whatever.
It's a good win.
Yeah, it was good. It was kind of left all of us cold. I didn't feel great about either team after that game. And then week five, they kill Pittsburgh, who's the worst team in the league. All I'm saying is... I'm not sure all of that leads to them being favored over the Chiefs in Kansas City. Like, at least give me pick 'em. Bills minus 2? I don't get it. I disagree. Right.
Take the Chiefs.
I might. The Chiefs should be insulted by this.
Can I, with the whole, one thing with, you got me thinking about the underhand, opposite hand shovel pass with Burrow. Like, no one's going to ever be better than that, or just by the 4 yard line. Like, Patrick Mahomes is the one guy you want at the 4 yard line, right? You wouldn't pick anyone else. Who is even second? I don't even, is it Josh Allen maybe? I don't Baker even know Mayfield. If there's a second best. Is it Baker?
Can I say something about the Philly special? It's going to seem like sour grapes. I swear to God, it's not.
Yeah.
So that play works in the Super Bowl, and it's this huge momentum, great moment for the game, and it's like becomes this symbolic moment of them outsmarting the Pats. They scored on us like every series that game. Any play they ran in that game succeeded or scored in some way. It was either a first down, a long pass, whatever.
Right.
So the Philly special was just one of many plays. Nick Foles, what was he like, 29 for 30 for 700 yards? That guy, I don't remember his stats. Everything they did worked. They ended up scoring like, I don't remember, it was over 40 points. I've blocked this game out. I refuse to watch it.
So the whole game was a Philly special.
They scored at least 45 points. My point is, now people think you get around the goal line, it's like, well, the Philly special worked. It's like everything fucking worked in that game. They could have run triple reverses. It would have worked.
Stop. It's like, why did the Globetrotters have to pull out the confetti? They're making, you know, backdoor layups left and right. It's
right.
It was just showing off.
Everyone can calm down with emulating the Philly special. The watchables. I got four. First one, at Cleveland. Browns Patriots.
Wow.
You know who always gets a hop and a step for these games? My guy Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Fired by the Cleveland Browns once upon a time. I love my team's chances in this game, and I'm very bullish on the New England Patriots, on Panda Jack, on Ramondre. I love this team. My favorite 2-3 team we've had in a long time. I think the Browns are favored by 2.5. What do you have, Hus?
Damn. Now I'm stuck. I'm going to be dead wrong on this. I think the Patriots are going to be favored. Like, I think by like a point.
Okay.
Simmons, you get it. I said Cleveland by 2. It's 2.5. You get it exactly. Yeah.
So just a standard home field advantage for the Browns based on what we've seen thus far. That's reasonable.
Listen, I have a couple of predictions.
Go ahead.
I think Belichick will have a long monologue about what a great guy Jacoby Brissett is. I think you can lock that down. Like a 70-second speech about what a wonderful human being he is, and he's so proud of him, and he was one of the hardest workers he's ever had. He'll do that. And I think somebody's got to get a good Jack Jones interview this week. He's one of the great fourth-round pick. They finally hit on a cornerback. He's got this whole great backstory. He persevered after getting kicked out of school and the whole thing. Panda Jack. Give me a Panda Jack story this week.
All right. I'll buy all of it, but I'm not letting you fall for this Bailey Zappi thing. I don't care if he throws 4 touchdown passes next week. I let you do this. I wasn't a good friend. I let you do this with the last guy, and now you hate him. And frankly, I shouldn't have let you do it with Brady 20 years ago. He wasn't that good, as it turns out, either. But no, back off Bailey Zappi.
Zappi's fine. He didn't do much today. They didn't really need him.
Okay.
Matt, as soon as Mac's healthy, he'll be back. But they got Tyquan Thornton back today, and he played a little bit, but I think that could be an X factor. I'm telling you, I like this Pats team. Everyone thinks I'm crazy.
That's how sad that is, House. We got Tyquan Thornton. Put the camera on.
You would take him.
Put the TikTok camera on.
You would take him. Next game is in Atlanta. 49ers at the Falcons. Falcons tried their damnedest to win some sort of money parlay.
I think they're 5-0 against the spread now, though.
5-0.
They covered.
They're not screwed up yet.
Amazing.
Today, no Kyle Pitts. Didn't matter. No Cordarrelle Patterson. Didn't matter. The 49ers, who were getting a lot of killer defense buzz, including on this podcast, but they lost a couple guys in the game today. They were a little banged up by the end of that game, House.
Yeah.
This is a little sneaky one. I think the 49ers, I have them favored by 4.5, but I could see the case for the Falcons. What do you have?
Oh, I had more. I think like 6.
Okay. What do you got, Sal?
House nails it. I said 4.5 also. It's 6. And I thought this week was good. I'm ashamed of taking that I took the Panthers this week. I thought this was going to be the upset, or they at least covered. But yeah, how many times could the Niners go on the road against these middling teams and cover? But I was surprised they made it six.
I think one of the funniest outcomes with the Niners, and I don't know if this is Shanahan related or what, is just whoever the running back is going to be good and rush for like 120 yards and a touchdown. Right. In our league, after Mitchell got hurt, I spent $64 of our $100 salary cap on Jeff Wilson. So it was like eight weeks of Niners running back. It doesn't matter. If this guy gets hurt, I'll just get Marlon Mack. It just doesn't matter. Who puts somebody in, they're going to get between 75 and 120 yards. Mm-hmm. Next one. I can't believe I put this as a watchable, but I think it is. I think there's a lot of subplots. Packers, Jets. It's in Green Bay. The Jets are downright frisky. The Packers are a whole week of what's going on coming out of London. And I think this could be maybe a tighter game than people expect. I'm going to say Packers by 7.5, House.
I think it's more than that because it's Lambeau. It's probably already 30 degrees there. It's the Jets on the road.
Mm.
I'm just going to say 8.
I said 7. Simmons gets it. It's exactly 7.5.
Wow.
You know, I didn't think about this, but they don't have an extra rest. So the teams have a choice if they want their bye week after the London game. And the Packers said, I guarantee the Packers said something like, no, but let us play someone like the Jets next week. And the league figured it out because they don't want Aaron Rodgers crying. But this is a short week for Green Bay. This could be another weird spot.
The Jets had something happen in the game today that I filed away, and it might mean nothing or it might mean something. They had, did you see the play when Quinn Williams stiff-armed Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
And there was a whole Tyreek Hill subplot this week about how he almost went to the Jets and he kind of shat on him. There was a whole story about the Jets were way more into that than you think. And basically Tyreek Hill was a little bit of a dick about it. And Williams stiff-armed Hill, and it was like a big thing with the Jets. And if you go read the stories, they were all like fired up. It's like the kind of little moment where if a team ends up, you know, lingering around in the playoffs, like week 16, week 17, you point back to them. I'm just filing it away.
The playoffs? The Jets?
Listen, find me 7 AFC playoff teams. What are you talking about?
Well, look, I mean, the two wins that they had coming into today, the come from behind, the way that they beat Cleveland, I'll never get over it. I was eliminated the eliminator, whatever week that was, week 2 or week 3. And then
I think we counted on 3 AFC West teams going to the playoffs, and that might just be one.
There's like what you would say 1.5 would be the over-under right now.
Yes,
there's going to be one from the AFC South. There could only be one from the AFC North, and we might have 3, potentially 4 from the AFC East. I don't know.
No, that's crazy. That's crazy talk.
I feel like the Pats can get in. Could. I'm just telling you.
I don't know what she put in that Brajol, but it's doing crazy things to your brain.
All I know is we have the best coach of all time, and he likes his team. Kyle, you hear me? Kyle's thinking about getting a Panda Jack jersey. They're not selling them on Fanatics yet. Went up to special order Panda Jack. Last one for the watchables. Now, this is a fun one. In Giants Stadium, Ravens at Giants.
It's a good football game.
Giants trying to go to 5-1. I have no idea who's playing receiver for them. And if there's ever been a road team by 3.5 line in the history of football, this is it. Ravens by 3.5. What do you have?
I'm just going to say 4 so that I don't have, you know, the same number as you, but I totally agree. That's exactly what
I think. Thank you, House. Thank you for stealing that. I had 3 and it's 6.
Wow. The Ravens by 6.
Yeah. No respect for the G-men. None at all.
No respect for Dan Dimes.
Well, there is a thing for the teams that went to London and then come back. There is some kind of a angle to those teams covering, you know, the next week.
I guess, in that game. But that's high. That's so high.
It feels high.
You know, we didn't talk about Tucker actual that last kick he made. When it's 43 yards and you know he's going to make it, but there's still that 1% chance where you're like, maybe this will be the time. And then he kicks it and it is like dead straight.
Yeah.
If it was like 3 extra points to just hit it completely in the middle of the 2 uprights, It would have been a 6-point field goal.
Yeah, it's,
that guy's unbelievable. We've never had a kick. Even Vinatieri wasn't like this.
Who said it on our thread? Was it Hench? It looks like a Tiger Woods, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the 18th hole.
Right.
And he needs to hit one down the middle. And, you know.
Just stays up there.
That's it.
Crazy. Falls on us. Yeah, it still gets me nutty that they don't get it in the 30s. Like, make it a 37-yard field goal. Why are you letting all this clock go? But it doesn't matter for a guy like him.
Doesn't
it just
matter.
Doesn't.
Actually, let's take a break. Fairly watchables. I got four. All these are fairly watchable. First one is in Miami. I have no idea who the starting quarterback is, but they'll be playing the 4-1 Minnesota Vikings. How do we feel about the Vikings being 4-1, House?
Well, if you, in the preseason run-up, we had Minnesota as a potential sneaky, could win the NFC North. The problem is I've watched Minnesota play these games, and now I absolutely distrust them. I wish I hadn't wagered on them to win the NFC North. I mean, I don't like Minnesota. I don't like Kirk Cousins. I don't like their defense. I don't trust
I don't like
them.
Their coach. I don't trust the coach at all.
Yeah. Other than that, great 4-1 team.
I think they played better defense under Coach Zimmer. I really do. As much as it was time for him to go. But what's their most impressive win? Week one against the Packers, who we now know are a completely flawed team. So 4-1's
weird
fine,
win.
But we know they're not great.
I have
what'd you have for this?
Yeah. I have the Dolphins by one.
Is there a line? We don't know who's playing quarterback.
I found the line, but wow, we're going to be off by a million here. But go ahead, House.
I think Minnesota's favored.
I think we should say no line for this because we don't know the quarterback.
You want to say no line?
Yeah. Let's say no line.
That benefits me greatly because I think they're having the Kansas State quarterback, and I made it like 7, but it's 3.
All right,
Dolphins by 3.
We're not counting that.
No,
one.
Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I thought Minnesota was going to be favored.
I thought Bridgewater. Sorry. Why wouldn't he be back?
We have no idea. We don't know what's wrong with them.
Because Dolphins, this is their punishment. They have to keep their quarterbacks out for weeks on end.
Saints Bengals is in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like this game is just on the do not bet list.
I agree.
Don't let me bet this game, Hess. Don't let me bet any games, actually. Don't let me bet any games that are happening.
How many millions are you allowed to bet on million-dollar picks? Is it infinite millions?
We're going to find out this year.
House, will you explain to him that it's only fun if he's actually betting the millions? Otherwise, it's just words.
Yeah.
But you can bet the million. Bet the 700,000 on a game.
Just
that's
words.
Great.
You should talk. Yeah. You went on that one streak at ESPN and you acted like it was the fucking reverse Iran hostage crisis. Like that the national media should
betting.
Be covering it. That
Let
you had
you
night
sheet.
In a row.
This is my betting sheet for 3 days.
Now that's a betting sheet.
Not a winner on there.
I have the Saints in New Orleans favored by 1 over the Bengals.
The Saints home, New Orleans, Bengals traveling. Sunday night. I'm going to...
Little Taysom Hill renaissance.
Yeah. I like this. I'm going to say Saints by 2.
Okay.
Well, let me check this because I did this before the game and who knows what they did with this. All right. Saints. This is Bengals. I had Cincy by 2.5. And it is Cincy by 1.5.
Okay.
So, Cincy's get it, favorite. Right? I was the only one who had it? Yeah. There you go.
Saints are a home dog against the 2-3 Bengals. Just want to make sure I get that right. Okay.
What do you mean? The Cincinnati is going to wallop somebody because they're a record?
No, I just don't know if I don't know if I'd be taking Zach Taylor as a road favorite in New Orleans anytime soon. It's not going to be on my agenda. This is a do not bet.
Well, who takes... Oh, it's also an Andy Dalton revenge game if he stays in there, right? Mm. Against his old team. I didn't even realize that.
Next one is Rams-Panthers. It's in L.A. I have no idea who the Panthers coach is going to be, but I don't think it's going to be Matt Rhule. The Rams, this is a must win. This will be a rare home game for them because there can't be that many Carolina fans traveling. I'm going to say Rams by 6, House.
Is... Is Tate Frazier a Carolina fan? Will Tate go to this game?
Oh, Tate will be there. Yeah. Tate
will
be
the
there.
Quarterback, actually. He's going to take snaps.
Now we have an answer to who will play quarterback right. for the Panthers. If Tate's there, then I'm going to say Rams by 8. If Tate doesn't go, then it's only Rams by 7 or 6.5.
What do you got, I beat Seth? You both there. I said 8.5. It's 9.
9.
Oof.
There's no reason to respect the Panthers on the road.
I have a great Tate story.
Oh, let's hear it.
You know, he's one of Coach K's biggest non-fans. Mm-hmm. So I was watching the Redeem Team doc on Friday, early Friday night. And it's, you know, very favorable to Coach K, which I knew would bother our friend Tate. So I texted Tate, you should watch this Redeem Team doc. More hagiography of Coach K. You'll hate it. I don't know what Tate was doing, but within a half hour, he's texting me. He's watching it. And he literally stopped everything he could do to hate watch the Redeem Team doc to get mad about Coach K stuff. Tate, you're the best. We love you, Tate. Coach K is good in that doc. He has a couple good speeches.
Is he lucid?
Yeah, he had a couple good speeches.
Okay.
So yeah, really? he kind of wins you over a little bit. I had to take a shower
He should coach the Broncos. Put him in there.
I'm positive he would have kicked the field goal up 3. The Cards are at Seattle. And this is another do not bet list game. I have the Cards by 2 over the Seahawks house.
Totally agree. I'll say Cards by 1.5.
All right. Simmons and I split it. It's 2.5. I said 3.
I mean, that's what makes sense.
What's the score, Sal? We only have a couple games left.
1, 2, 3 for me, 2 for house. 5 for me, 2 for house, 3 for you.
Okay.
Let's go. I'm getting this week.
We're going. You need house. House is like your
secret weapon.
You
come back every week, house. We need you.
Only if there's Brajoles.
The poopfecta. We have 2 games. One is an AFC South encounter between the Jags and the Colts. It is taking place in Indianapolis. The Colts, I think, are the worst 2-3 team of at least the last 5 years. I literally cannot believe they're 2-3. They should be 0-5. It is the Chiefs-Colts game. I still can't believe they won that game. And then last week was a whole other level. They are an 0-5 team with a 2-3 record.
No, 2-2-1. They tied the Texans. Another game they should have
lost. I forgot about that. Yeah, they're 2-2-1. Yeah. Oh, my God. I have the Jags favored by 3 in Indianapolis. What do you have?
No way. Ooh. Absolutely not. Under no circumstances. I have the Colts by 2.5.
You're going to get it. I said Colts by 3.5. It's 1.5. House gets it.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Jags.
Colts
are terrible.
So are the Jags.
Make every home team in the South a 3-point favorite against the other. Just do it. Don't even worry about it anymore. Yep.
I'm going to see if I can lose money on the Jags for 3 weeks in a row. I can't.
The Jags, aren't they like 0-17 on the road or 1-17 the last 18? You can't. You have to give them 3. I don't understand.
Travis Etienne, feel free to just catch one, balls and
catch one,
pull them to your chest and then run after. You were first round draft
Great
pick.
Great pick.
The Bucks are in Pittsburgh. I went too low. I'm going to go higher on this. I have the Bucks favored by 8 in Pittsburgh house.
I'm just going to say 10. It's got to be double digits.
Damn it, Simmons. I said 8.5. It is 7.5. So you get it, Simmons.
7.5.
Now it's 5-4
What
3.
Color will Brady's hair be? That's the thing that will help. Look,
the Bucks have been mildly alarming this season. Now, you could argue that come November, we'll be like, you knew they would bring it around. But they beat Dallas week 1. Beat New Orleans week 2. Lose to Green Bay by 2, which looks worse now because Green Bay's looked like crap the last 2 weeks. Lose to KC by 10, and then barely beat Atlanta, who really had no skill position guys other than the first round pick, London.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I think they're going to grind. I think they're going to have to grind all year. It's not going to come easy.
Sunday night.
Come on, Eagles.
Home for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to stick with my original guess. House, you go first.
I'm going to say Eagles by 4.
I have Eagles against the Ewing Theory Cowboys by 6.
Wow.
Simmons gets it. It's 5.5. I said 4.5.
Oh.
That's high. I don't care what that's you guys high. Say. That's high.
I agree.
That's Cooper
the
Rush.
The Rams gave them 6. Demolished them.
Yeah, but the Rams aren't good. This is my point. No. The Eagles are actually good. They're going to be flying around. It's going to be a hard game.
They should have lost today. All right, we got one more, and we're Simmons and I have 5, and Hal says 3. All right, you can't catch us, Hal. But
that's
thank
fine.
You for,
I'm stuck in the middle seat as usual.
He's going to have 7 more Brajals. He's fine. When was the last time McCarthy had a bad McCarthy game? Week 1?
I thought this was going to be it. I predicted all week. I was like, that's what we haven't seen the first month. He's going to screw something up in the last 2 minutes in that a winnable game. But it hasn't come down to it because the defense has been so good.
Monday night. Chargers Broncos in LA.
We can't flex this. When do we get to start flexing?
No, this is fun. Hold on. It's the Broncos are fun TV. Come on.
But this is 4 primetime games to the Broncos in 6 weeks. That's outrageous. I could have told you Russ wasn't going to be that good. 4 primetime games.
I have a counter. What TV show has been funnier in 2022 than the Broncos?
than Daniel right. Hackett, the Hackett show?
That's true.
Is there a funnier true. Comedy than the Broncos? I'm trying to think. Are there funny comedies anymore?
I don't know. Is Veep still on?
You're right.
Veep is not on. Okay. I have the Chargers favored by 5.5 against the Broncos house.
The Chargers are home against the Broncos. It's a division game. I like them by 6.
Okay. Sal?
House and I split, and so I win. I had 7. He had 6. It's 6.5.
Woo! Yes.
Thank you, House.
Wait, why do you win?
House and I each get 1 for that. When you split,
your weird
you
scoring
one.
System.
Oh, come on.
It's not a win. It's split.
6, 5, 4. 15
years. Skins roll over to the next skin.
I should change the scoring like they did the concussion protocol. This is how we've done it.
I have a Broncos fan question. Because Denver is not that far away from LA, right? And it's, hey, we'll go to LA. The Broncos are playing Monday night. We'll do a weekend trip. We'll stay in there and then we'll go to the game. We'll see our guys. We'll wear our Wilson jerseys we just bought. Do you cancel the trip? What do you do?
Interesting. No, you don't cancel it. Oh, would they do it for a Monday? Monday games? They never have fans. It doesn't matter. The Chargers.
So maybe you go, but you don't wear the Wilson jersey.
Mm-hmm.
You break out like the Drew Luck jersey.
Cortland Sutton.
Cortland Sutton, whatever.
Do you think, we were talking this week, do the Chargers wish they were back in a soccer stadium? Could it have been that much worse? Like, at least you don't have 40,000 people rooting against you.
I think if I were them, I wouldn't have left San Diego. You're the Clippers in a city that doesn't even really care about going to football games. There's no way this was a better outcome for them.
Why did the league step in, buy the team from the cheapo, dumb owner, and put it back in San Diego where it belongs?
I don't know.
The answer, so, Simmons, he asked you a question.
I don't know. San Diego should have a team. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Wait, before we do Parent Corner, Sal.
Yeah.
Not to step on your Against All Odds podcast, but Astros minus 225 against the Mariners. Who do you like?
I think it's a little high, but the Astros, the Mariners are like 24-2 in one run game. So we never know what to do with that stat, right? Does that mean they're a good team, or does that mean they're full of shit, or they're well coached, or what? But I'm going to say Astros win that.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing. Why would you go against the Astros?
I think that line's too high.
Seattle's lineup's not that great, despite the 10 runs. Toronto's bullpen was garbage the other day.
Yankees, Guardians, I like the Yankees.
Yankees
are minus 220.
I'm going upset.
You going Guardians?
That Guardians team, yeah, they're like 25-6 this month over the last 31, 32 games. I like that team.
Well, I hope you're right. I certainly wouldn't bet on the Yankees. Well, good, you know, pitching. The National League more, so we got Braves minus 186 against the Phillies.
Yeah, they kind of just have their number. I would go Braves. No upsets in the National League for me. Dodgers over Padres and Braves.
Dodgers minus 220.
Yeah, they own the Padres.
Dodgers, Padres, everyone's trying to get that going as a rivalry. And it just couldn't get going. And then Tatis goes out for 80 games.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think, on paper, you could have Dodgers, Braves, Yankees, Astros as the final four, which would be pretty great. But we know that's how baseball, they always have the one party crasher, which will definitely be either the Mariners or the Guardians.
I'm close with a front office guy in Major League Baseball. Whoa. He says that they don't want the Astros anymore. They want them out of there. They would rather, it can't work this way, but they would rather have had the Guardians. But now the Guardians, it can't work that way, but they've had enough of the Astros. Too much stink on that team.
Yeah, they're certainly fun to root against. All right, let's do Parent Corner. Today's Parent Corner is brought to you by Simply Safe Home Security. A lot has changed since I was a teenager when kids had an easier time flying under their parents' radar. I'm from the generation where we just came home from school and our parents were at work and we just killed 4 to 5 hours. Our parents had no idea what we were doing. Now we have smartphones, we have modern technology, all this stuff to keep our kids safer. We complain about it, but guess what? It's pretty good. It's better than leaving your kids alone for 5 hours. Simply Safe's advanced security technology gives your family the best of both worlds. 24/7 protection and independence, like video doorbell and HD security cameras that let you keep an eye on the kids playing in the yard through the Simply Safe app. All right, Sal, Parent Corner, you're on the clock.
All right, so, you know, our like your world, mine is dominated now by high school football on Friday nights, and we're good. My son is a senior playing defensive end. They're 5-1. They lose 40-14 to this team, who's just a complete team. 7-7 late in the first quarter, but they lose 40-14. And this Parent Corner is about other parents who are just out of control. I think more out of control than ever. And our team has only a few, but they feed off of each other and they try to be encouraging, but they say things like, guys, we're losing the battle up front. Is that acceptable to you? Like, it always ends in a question and they're screaming it from like, we want to be proud of your play at the end of the night, don't you? It's like, I feel like they expect the guys to break the huddle and answer them. Like, yeah, I think you're right. Like, we could do a little more. Like, they really become part of the show, and it gets me mad. Like, and then there's a couple that just scream at the refs for every single play. Every single play went against us because the refs have a vendetta against us. And like, they'll be like, 78's holding there, ref. I'm like, no, 78's up against my kid. He's not holding. I would have been saying it. It's like, I don't even think he's being held. But the worst is when they're putting down kids that aren't theirs. Like, they'll point out like, oh, that's 3 drops for you, Paul. And I look back, I'm like, oh, that's not even Paul. That's not even Paul's father. Shut up. What are you doing? So I think parents need to calm down a little. I think this is why God gave us COVID, because he didn't want us to be outdoors for a while. But no one learned their lesson. In fact, they got worse. So I don't know if anyone could hear me, but just calm down. You're at a kid's football game. Even if they're 16 and 17, I know they're not 8 and 9, but enough. You're not the show. Do you hear this too? You must hear this.
Listen, bitching about somebody else's kid that's on your team, to me, that's like the third rail. I would actually say something if that was near me. You can't do that.
Yeah. No, it's awful. It's awful.
You can mutter under your breath to like your spouse about one of the kids, but you can't like say it out loud.
That's all it is muttering. That's all you should be doing is muttering and stomping your feet if you want to make some noise. But yeah.
Football parents are bad, but I still think baseball parents are the worst from what I've seen, having gone through all the different sports. I think the baseball, there's just too much spare time in the baseball. And it's very easy to think you know every aspect of what's going on. There's all these dumb things to complain about. And it just sucks. It's a bad vibe. Yeah. I was so glad when Ben stopped playing baseball. It was one of like the greatest decisions he ever made. I fully support it. House, what do you have for Parent Corner?
I have a slightly different kind of experience. Have either one of you guys ever been to a Renaissance fair? Do you even know what this is? So in Maryland, there is this giant fairgrounds that is only open from the end of August through like October, maybe into early November. It's open on the weekends, and 15,000 or more people come to this 30-acre plot of land, the center of which has a giant like jousting pavilion, and people sit around. But my kid is 12, So he was kind of intrigued by like the Middle Earth idea. He still likes swords. He's still, you know, he's like, he's a genuine tween. I just want to say I was surprised by the experience. This thing, the folks that attend this, people of all ages really go out. And it is in many respects, I mean, maybe I haven't got out enough. Maybe this is goes to the COVID thing. An opportunity for people to really dress up. I saw a lot of very provocatively dressed middle-aged, but like Middle Earth kind of costumes out and about.
What's going on right now?
I don't know, this is why I started asking.
Was this like a swingers convention?
I'm befuddled by the entire thing. There were men dressed up. I'll show you. A lot of it looked like a Raiders game. There were a lot of men dressed up like we were at, you know, the old Oakland Raiders or now Vegas, you know, with the armor and the body and face paint and had their hair pulled back.
Hold on. I have a question. Was anyone playing backgammon? No,
I don't know.
Then I don't want to hear about.
The old backgammon pavilion. Maybe. I don't know. But I hadn't experienced this before. I'm glad that my kid dragged us out for it. It was a slice of life I might not have otherwise encountered. And if you were a creepy person with a cell phone, there's a lot of opportunities to go down that path if you want. I'm not that kind of person, but. It was very, very outside of my walk of life. That's the way I'll put it.
Is it weird I have a boner right now?
I'm telling you, the Renaissance Festival.
I'm going to leave the Zoom and you guys can be alone. Yeah. Dim the lights.
Renaissance.
Kyle.
Who knew the Renaissance Festival?
I'm
going
to find some pictures and send them to you guys. I did not take
any
pictures.
Yeah, I want to see some pictures.
I'm sure people post them on the Facebook and everywhere else.
That's Hess's porn search tonight in his hotel room. The middle seat lounge. my parent corner. I went to my daughter's soccer game today, which was I timed it. I had the red zone on my phone in the Pats game, and I really did feel like I had her game was at like about halftime of the early game, so I felt like I was able to. I knew what was going on, but I drove her to the game like we used to. This is her last year playing for her club team, and I was thinking about, you know, she's been doing soccer. I think like. I don't know, maybe 11 years, 12 years, something like that. And we'd drive to these games and she would have all these different phases where, you know, the early ones, she'd be all hyped up to go. And we'd talk about like, all right, don't forget, you know, and try to walk through the things she'd have to do during the game. Or then games where she'd be nervous and we'd play music to try to get her to like calm down. We used to play a lot of Kanye, ironically, to like hype music, things like that. And then she would have these little funks when like she hurt her back or some other times when like you have these ebbs and flows of when your kid plays sports, when you try to play these music and we'd be driving the last 5 minutes, I'd be like, keep your legs moving. I'd tell her all these different things. And now she's got to the point, she's, you know, a senior in high school and she's just really good at soccer. She's in good shape. I don't really need to have to tell her anything. And we drove to the game and I was listening to football and she had her headphones on and pulled up and I was like, all right, keep your legs moving. And she's like, all right, dad, and just went out and played the game and had 2 assists. And my work is done, Sal. I took her to the finish line. I got nothing left. No more car advice. We're done.
And even if you did, the earbuds win over everything else. It's so hard to get them out of those kids' ears, right? So, yeah. That's it.
I feel like we did my job. I took her to the finish line.
Let's all just head to the Renaissance Fair. Good.
Do not take her to the Renaissance Fair.
Definitely not doing that. All right, that's it for Parent Corner. Today's Parent Corner was brought to you by Simply Safe Home Security. When it comes to protecting your family, no parent wants to play small. With Simply Safe's 24/7 professional monitoring and exclusive Fast Protect technology, agents can take immediate action to verify your emergency for faster police response, and you're always in control of your family's safety through the Simply Safe app. Arm or disarm, unlock for a guest, access your cameras, adjust system settings anywhere, anytime. When you sign up for 24/7 interactive monitoring for under $1 a day, you can get your first month free and save 20% on your home security system. Customize the perfect system at simplysafe.com. There is no safe like Simply Safe. All right, Sal, what do you got to plug?
The Extra Points Podcast Network, powered by Omaha Audio and Against All Odds, -3, Covered in Glory, Megan Fun of Sports, Waiver Wired, whole bunch of good stuff going on there. Check it out.
What do you got to plug, House?
I'm here with you. We're going to pump out, 15 hours of NBA content. The East Coast Bias Boys will be up with gambling advice both tomorrow, Monday for the Monday Night Game, and Tuesday. I'm going to have to miss that because we're doing this NBA stuff.
You might have to do it. We know where I'm taking him tomorrow, Sal.
Where are you going?
You might be available. Yeah, I don't know if you make yourself available. Bianco Pizza. He's never had real Bianco Pizza. He's only ordered it.
Flown in.
So I have to take him.
What time are you going? I may have to die. I'm supposed to start my diet early afternoon.
Let's go, Bianco.
Listeners, if you want Sal to buy you a piece of pizza, come at 1:30.
Well, that's not good. Now everybody knows.
No. We're going at some point tomorrow because he somehow never had the magical Bianco pizza.
Wow. You're going to fall in love.
I can't wait.
You're going to love it.
You know, I don't want to spoil this, but I think Bianco's going to buy the Suns.
Why do you say that?
He's going to be the majority owner of the Phoenix Suns. That's what I heard.
He got rich off the pizza.
He's spent the last 20 years. He has all these rich guys in Phoenix that he's been feeding that love him. And they're just going to put a group together and make him the GM.
Well, we were there. Kevin Johnson was there when we were there a few weeks ago, right?
I don't know. Don't be surprised if Bianco's not running the draft next year.
Kevin Johnson. Right.
Making people pizza.
Kevin Johnson's at the Renaissance Fair now.
All right. Sal, good job by you. House, good job by you. Good to see you guys.
Good job by you, Billy.
All right. That's it for the podcast. Thanks to Cousin Sal. Thanks to Joe House. Thanks to Kyle Creighton for producing. Thanks to Steve Cerruti and Dylan Berkey as well. I will see you on Tuesday for the extravaganza, the over-unders pod. It's happening. Multi-parts, lots of hours, lots of NBA stuff. I cannot wait. Cannot wait. I cannot wait. See you Tuesday. I wanna see them on a waste of-